Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome Sunday night. You know how we do it here from the Charm City. What's going on? Hodgepodge Sports Show tonight, coming straight from Baltimore, Maryland. Man, got my main man, Toby Wilson, rolling in with me. We're going to have a special co-host on tonight. Her name is Jordan. She's going to be calling in from New York. She's going to be discussing everything New York. So forget about it. If you're into the Knicks, if you're into the Yankees, you're into the Rangers, this is the spot to be tonight. She's going to talk about all of it. Toby and I, we're going to be covering Urban Meyer situation, the fallout. What he didn't do is more what I'm going to talk about, not what he did, more about what he didn't do. NFL preseason week number 3. How's your team stacking up? How the injuries looking? What do you expect out of your teams going into the regular season? Man, we got to talk MLB. We got to talk this pennant races, man. This thing is getting hot. NL East, it seems like nobody wants to take control of the NL East. The Braves got a 3-game lead. My Phillies are hanging in there. But I want to talk about the NL West and that NL Central because the Cardinals are hot. We'll talk about the Yankees. Do they have enough? We kind of broached on it last week, but we'll definitely get into it again this week. Do they have enough to hold on? You know, are they going to be able to hold on to that wild card spot? But they made some ground up this weekend. With Boston got swept by Tampa. Man, that's the first time in a long time Boston has been swept. So maybe Boston's slowing down just a little bit. So maybe the door's creeping open a little bit for the Yankees to not only hold on to that wild card spot, but maybe, just maybe, sneak in there and capture that AL East title. I, for one, personally don't see that happening. I don't think the Yankees will be able to run down Boston, but we've seen things like this before. Back in 07, the Phillies came back from 7 games down with 17 left to play to take the NL East over the Mets. So it's been done before. Yankees definitely have the offense to hit with anybody. Pitching is what's holding them up right now, and defense. So it'd be interesting to see how that race turns out. Hey, Sherry, I see you out there in the live feed. Thanks for checking in and always riding with us. You've been loyal to us from day one, so we appreciate the support. We're going to be announcing a change coming up to our show. We will be moving nights and time, so that's something to look forward to for us. We're going to be getting our merchandise up and ready to roll as well. I'm just waiting for my man Toby to call in here so we can get this thing moving along. But as you're out there and as you're about to give us a call tonight, because we want to hear from all of you, our call in number is 646-668-8083. Be prepared to talk about any topic that it is that you feel that you want to cover that's sports related out there, because you know we are going to have an open mic segment as well where we'll just let the calls come in and we'll keep up with the live feed as best we can as well to keep the topics rolling. But we definitely want to get that going as well. I see my man Toby's out there in the live feed, just waiting for him. He's letting me know he's on his way in. We're gonna get that, trying to get him on camera as well, so we can do that. What's up, Hart? How you doing, man? Look good up there, brother. What's happening? So we're gonna do this thing big tonight, man. We're gonna have a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to meeting Jordan and talking to her and finding out what she's going to be bringing to the table. We got a lot of New York fans that we have in the group, and we have some that call in. So this should be a real treat. especially if Nita Cook and Ray Bennett, if they can call in as well, that'd be a blast, because then she won't be so alone talking about New York. So that'd be cool as well, to have that dynamic going on. And you know, if you know, we're gonna try to keep this young lady on with us as much as she can get on and come on, and then we'll be doing our thing. But man, there he is, my man. There he is. What's going on, partner?
What's going on? How are we?
Not much, man. I was trying to bring you on the feed, but it doesn't seem like it's working for me.
Yeah, my Facebook, you know, out here in the country, we got to pop the internet in through little bitty tunnels.
Well, I understand, man. It's like that all over the place, man. This weather be playing tricks on us and everything. So, man, listen, I was just going through the opening monologue, talking about our topics, and I'll just recap in case you didn't get to hear him. You know, we're gonna talk Urban Meyer, man, and I really want that to be our put up our Duke segment. So I hope someone calls in or takes a stand on his side, because I really want to just go at somebody on this. But I really want to talk about what he didn't do, right? Not what he did, but what he didn't do. We're gonna cover the NFL. You know, week 3 preseason. My team comes on the night at 8, and it looks like nobody's really playing. So it's like just another exhibition game. But I want to talk to injuries. Look like Marquise Lee got carted off yesterday. Talk injuries there. Talk about some of the big names that could be traded, right? Because that Denarius Thomas thing's looking more and more likely with Eric Decker retiring. Or does that open the door for Dez Bryant? Or does that open the door for Dez Bryant to sign? You know, all right, Corey Cagle. Listen, you stay right there, buddy, because when we bring Jordan on, she's going to be talking about New York. She's going to defend that New York sucks. I didn't see her team getting swept this week by Tampa Bay. That's all I'm saying. But anywho, looking forward to meeting Jordan. She's going to bring that New York speak. She's going to talk about the Knicks, the Rangers, the Yankees. She has some good things that she wants to talk about there. And then we'll introduce her with a song. I got something queued up for her, so that'd be nice. Let her come on and do her thing. But man, let me turn this over to you, man. Let you kick off our opening segment, man.
Man, I tell you, I just thankful to be here. It's been a good run on Sundays, and you know, I don't know if you've touched on it yet, but
not yet.
Pat hasn't. Okay, well, I'll leave that to you then. So I don't want to steal the thunder.
Yeah, not yet. We'll probably give it to him a couple of times throughout the night, but we'll work it out.
Okay. You know, it's a good time right now. Football is cranking up all over the place. We had some real live college football this past weekend, so that was good to see. We've got some what was supposed to be a you know, dress rehearsal in the NFL this week, but it's you got some draft picks that aren't living up to expectations. You got some teams that have laid an egg, and people want to say, you know, it's just preseason. It's nothing to worry about. But, I'm not going to lie. You guys know me. You know, I'm a huge Titans fan. I'm concerned about my squad. We do not look ready for regular season play. It's concerning. Several other teams out there right now should be concerned. If I am Cleveland right now, I want to know where you guys are at. Where's the Baker? Where's the Baker Birds? It was 2 weeks ago. You guys were crowning the man. Where you at now? Because, you know, he played a little bit, and I don't hear you. I don't hear you. So where you at? I want to hear the Baker Birds. Bring them out. So,
yeah, bring them out. Bring them out.
I want to hear the Baker Birds tonight. I want to know. Kind of like what Pat said, I want to know, you know, is Demaryius Thomas going to wind up a Patriot, or does that open the door for Dez? Which veterans are going to be cut? I want to know, starters may lose their job, not necessarily be cut, but who's not going to start? Who's on their way out and who's on their way in for your team or for maybe a team you hate? Because everybody knows the team that you hate, you know as good as the team that you love. So that's where I'm at.
No, that's good stuff, man. Hey, Devin Gordy, what's happening, man? No, I mean, I think that's real good. I think that at the end of the day, right, we'll touch on this. I think Dez Bryant is actually playing the situation just right. You know, if he's not 100% healthy, if he didn't want to run his legs into the ground during the summer, you know, because you're going to get what you're going to get from him regardless. You know, he's going to give you 100% effort. And that's never been a question. Question has just been concentration level, you know, and channeling that passion that he has for the game and just, you know, being able to be what he's supposed to be and be where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. But this situation could come down right in his lap. He might end up getting the right amount of money, and he might end up with the team that he may have wanted to end up with. And I'm going to tell you, I think he's going to end up in your division, man. If he doesn't end up on your squad, I think he's going to be a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Man, I hope not. I don't want to face that cat twice.
Yeah, so I want you just to hold on. And that's a little bit of inside information there I got. But Jacksonville's definitely in play there. Cleveland is still in play, regardless of the fact that he didn't sign. Cleveland is still in play. But from what we know, like from what we know of our years of watching the NFL, especially in the Bill Belichick era, this sounds, smells like a Bill Belichick move coming up.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
For sure.
Right? You know, and I said it from day one when he got released that he would end up in New England. And the best thing, and I've always said this, and you can back me up on this, I've always said the best thing for him to do is go where there's a veteran quarterback. I think if he goes where there's a veteran quarterback, I think you'll see the numbers that he put up 3 years ago come back. I really believe that. If he's with the Brady, if he's with the Breeze, if he's with the Rodgers, man, the cat is still big. He's still strong. There's just so many things that he still can do well that I think that going somewhere where he doesn't necessarily have to be the man will bode well for him at this point in his career. Because I think he still has the capabilities of being the man, just not being that man of 3 years ago. If that makes sense.
I don't know that he can't be that man, honestly. So, you know, I have always been the guy who, and you've corrected me on this, rightly so. So I have been the guy who has targeted Dez as being the, you know, he gets the dropsies occasionally when the lose almost like he loses concentration on the easy stuff. He'll catch the make the amazing plays, and he'll let a 15-yard route across the middle that's, you know, 3rd and 12 that would have got you a first down. And he's wide open that he'll drop that. So I've been guilty of accusing him of being that guy. But, you know, the more that I have watched his stuff over this offseason while they've been showing, hey, you know, this is Dez and this is why he's unsigned. He drops these passes. I don't know this Dez, man. Like, I don't want to knock your boy, but I don't know that Dak was the best fit for Dez, if that makes sense.
I don't think they were a match made. And I think some of it was forced. Of course, you know, you're going to want the ball. You're going to demand the ball. And I think that Dallas got away from what made them successful 2 years ago. And I think you'll see them getting back to that this year. I think Dak's somewhere in between his first and second years, right? He's not as great as he was the first year, but he's not as bad as he played last year. And if you think about it, he didn't play all that bad last year, right? So
no.
I think, you know what I mean? So I think they got to find that mix of what he does well and compliment him. And I think the thing that worked out well when they won him 13 games is, yeah, he was new to the league, so people didn't have the book on him. If you buy into that, I don't buy into that in the NFL because the NFL is too smart. But I think that success is warranted when you have it, no matter when you have it. That's just how I feel when it comes to the NFL. But I think he had the philosophy there. He wasn't going to force anything, and he was going to throw the ball to the open man. And I think that they got away from that a little bit last year, and I think that's what got them in trouble. Plus, the injuries and not having Zeke is there. But, man, I'm really looking forward to the storyline with Dez to see where he ends up. Man, it's really going to be entertaining, I think, to say the least. And I think, you know, as this week winds down, you know, couple games, like game going on now, another game tonight, we'll see if anybody else gets hurt tonight or during this week. But, you know, we'll see what's happening. But one thing that you said that was right on point is that this week is usually the best week of preseason because, you know, this is when the so-called dress rehearsal happens and the starters play. And I think what's happened, Toby, I think that all the injuries have scared teams away. I think people getting hurt in practice, you know, So I think teams are just like, you know what, we just going to roll into the regular season with what we got. You know what I mean? We're not going to, you see it more with the defensive players playing more than the offensive players. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And I think the expanded rosters have something to do with it not being as much of a focus as it used to be, too. I mean, you now have 90 people still on your roster at this point in the game. So that third game, you don't have the luxury of saying, okay, I'm going to let my starters get, you know, three quarters in, because, I mean, you're still in evaluation mode for some of these kids. It is – I mean, you're not down to – what was the number? You know, at this time – years ago, you were already down to, what, 72 or 64, whatever that magic number was. I mean, you were almost
right
there.
You're absolutely right.
I think that plays to it. And you're going to see this week, and it's already started. So my Titans, for instance, we activated Rishard Matthews today off the PUP list. So I think he's probably – almost the situation like what you were talking about with Dez. Do I think there was an injury there? Sure, I do. But I think they kept him out of most of the preseason activities to keep those legs fresh. He's getting somewhat longer in the tooth as compared to some of the rookies. And I think they just wanted to go into the season with as big of an advantage for him as they could. So, you know, they pupped him and let him get healthy and save those reps. And you're going to see that happen this week. I mean, people are coming back, and we're going to go home. And Michael Campanaro, that name means nothing to you guys because, well, he's a nobody, but he's gone to the pup list now. So.
Whoa, hold on now. Michael Campanaro now, hold on, man. He's a former Baltimore Raven, man.
Well, what was he with the Ravens, though? He was a return specialist, right?
He
didn't really play wide receiver.
He did play, and then he got hurt. He got time. That's why Rashard Perriman may not make the roster this year because of the time he had. He got hurt. He had a real bad back injury the one year when he was stepping up. He got some run. Yeah, he got some run.
Okay. So Campanaro has gone to the pup, and it's sad for him. He was actually pushing Tajay Sharp for that fifth wide receiver. Sharp has kind of come back into his own, and I think the race is probably pretty much over now, but. You know, hopefully he'll hang on and make the practice squad. It's going to happen all over the league, but.
Yeah. What did he go on pup for? Was it his back, Toby? Was it his back?
I'm not sure. I know he played in the game yesterday, and I didn't see an official injury release on him. So I can't tell you. I'll have to look on my phone and see if there's any sort of answer. I'll get you that here in a second. So what's going on in the live feed? I can't get anything Facebook-wise right now for some odd reason. Have I got anybody talking about Baker at all? Is anybody getting manned up? I mean, where's everybody?
Nope.
Where is Kevin Dixon?
Nope. Nobody. Kevin's supposed to be calling in. He's on vacation. He's supposed to be calling in. Nobody's talking about Baker Mayfield. We do not have the Baker Mayfield bandwagoners up in here tonight. There's a lot of shade being thrown. Being thrown Jordan's way already about the Yankees and about how the Red Sox are the team to beat. So you want to guess where that's coming from? Justin Pierce says the Browns are making the playoffs with a laughing emoji. So I asked the question: what would be a successful season for the Browns? Shane Harrison's talking about Chris Warren. Keep an eye on him. If he makes the Raiders squad, he'll be in trouble. Danny is out. I'm not sure who Danny is by Corey Cage. I don't know who that is. There's my boy SJH, Sean James Harrison. This side would be good right here if he calls in. But look here, man. What are we gonna do, man? We're gonna do a big for Jordan, right? We're gonna play a little song for her as we let her come on in. So y'all bear with us for a second here. Jordan here. I'm gonna free up her microphone.
Word.
There we go, Jordan. This one for you right here. All right, here we go. 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 All right, here we go
Give it to him, George.
Nigga,
I hear you sing it. Give it to him,
girl.
All right, George, there's your big intro, girl. How you doing? Welcome to the Hot Spot Sports Show. You're rolling with myself, Patrick, and my boy, Toby. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Hey, girl, how are you?
All right, so let's get started.
Let's get started. I like it. Let's get started.
To the point. I like it.
Yes, sir. Go for it, Jordan.
So I wanted to say, so I'm a Yankees fan. So the first thing I wanted to say is for the Yankees, what do you think that they need to do to make a run in playoffs?
Question, Jordan, and I'll go first on that. I think that the Yankees really need to get their starting rotation shored up. I like the move of Jay Happ. I like the move of Zach Britton. And so Zach Britton is really not working out in the bullpen. I thought that move alone would help shorten the games and make the bullpen, which was a strength, that much stronger. Looks like I was wrong there. And I like the move of Lance Lynn. I think they just got to get settled in that starting rotation, and they need to get the Judge back as well. I think that he lengthens the lineup and makes them that much more powerful of a lineup and that much more difficult to pitch to. I think some of the young guys could be getting a little tired as well. You know, it's 162 is a long season, and it's even longer when you're playing in New York because of the pressure that comes along with playing in New York and being in the playoff race. Is even added pressure. So I think, you know, they just got to settle down. They got to get that one through five solidified. Who's going to be one? Who's going to be two? So forth. And then if they can get that starting pitching straightened out, I think that they're definitely holding on to the wild card spot. But listen, only 7 games back with a week to go in August and all of September. If Boston is slowing down at any time, and they could be right now with that sweep with Tampa, I mean that's a dagger right there. And Chris Sale, you know, what's his status? You know, second time in the DL in 20 days. So there's a crack for the division title opening up right there. But I think pitching has always been the thing for the Yankees. I think starting pitching is where they need to shore up, and then they'll be good to go. Toby?
So if I'm the Yankees, you got a 4-game wild card lead right now in Oakland. I focus on that. I don't – you know, this is a marathon and not a sprint. I focus on getting into the playoffs. The division means nothing, right? So I'm an Atlanta Braves fan. The division means nothing. Hear me say that. We won division titles after division titles after division titles. I'm sick of them. They mean nothing. You know, go win your series. Wild card teams win the series all the time. So settle into the wild card spot. Protect it. Keep your lead. You got a 4-game lead right now over Oakland. Protect that. Finish that out. And then pour it on strong in the playoffs. I mean, who cares if you win the division, right? What's that mean? Nothing. It means nothing. So if I'm New York, I get healthy. I focus on my pitching. I rest my pitchers if I can. But I keep my lead in the wild card. I finish out the regular season, keeping as much of a wild card lead as I can. And I go in to the playoffs and I do what the Yankees do, and that's dominating the postseason.
And then, Jordan, what do you think that your Yankees need to do?
Well, I agree with you. I really think that they need to get their starting pitching down pat, because, yeah, that is something that always has concerned me with the Yankees. The starting pitching has always remained a concern, especially for these past couple of years. It's not really their offense that worries me. It's their starting pitching, because I think once they got their starting pitching down pat, I think they should be good.
I agree. You got a Boston fan in the live feed. His name is Corey Cagle. He thinks that you guys have no chance of catching Boston. He just thinks that's a blip. If you had one thing to say to a Boston fan, what would it be, Jordan?
Anything can happen.
That's right. I like it. Anything can happen. History has shown us that it's not impossible for this to be done. What else is on your mind, Jordan? Was the next question, Toby? Oh, ask you that question? All right, Toby, if you had one thing to say to Boston, what would you say to Boston?
I said, Corey Cagle, how in the world does a boy from Jasper, Tennessee wind up a Gator fan and a Red Sox fan? What's wrong with you, dude?
That's a question for another day. Well, that's a good one, though. Corey Cagle, see, you're in the sights, man. You're in the sights. Question is, how does somebody from Jasper, Tennessee, is a Gator fan and also a Boston Red Sox fan? We'd love for you to call in and explain that to us. 646-668-8083. John James Harrison, looking at you, kid. What do you think your Yankees got to do to maintain their playoff spot? All right, Jordan, what's next on your list? What's your next topic?
Well, my next topic is going to be the Rangers. Now, I'd say with the Rangers, they are in full rebuild mode right now. So what do you think that the Rangers need to do to speed up their rebuild so they at least become a playoff team?
Well, that's a really, really good question. And when you typed that the other day, I started thinking about it. I don't know if you're going to like my answer because I'm a Flyers fan. I think the Rangers should trade Henrik. I think they need to move him. I think if you're in a full rebuild mode, I think now's the time to trade the King to get some assets in return. And I'm talking about NHL roster spots. I'm not talking about trade for draft picks, trade for prospects. Move Hank to get some talent coming back. Your backup goalie was pretty stout last year. I would hate to see him leave New York, though, because, he's been such a great goalie for New York, and he embodies the New York Ranger. When you think of New York Rangers, now that's the guy that comes to mind, right? Before, it was Messier, could have been Smith, right? But now when you say Rangers, it's automatically Hank. But for me, I would move him to get some more NHL pieces back because they're not that far off. Last year was – sometimes in the NHL, I think NHL teams panic. You're bound to have a bad year if one thing is off, injuries off. They missed a lot of people last year, and they gave up a lot of their younger talent already. So I think that, eight teams make it into the playoffs, and I can't say for sure that they're not one of the best eight teams. Maybe they're 9 or 10. I don't know. I mean, they're not that far off behind Philly and Jersey. But really depends on what you got, how fast you gel, the new coach. That might take some time because that's a college coach they brought in, right?
Yeah.
So that could take a little time to get that thing working. But if I had to pick one thing, I think the one thing that I would do, I would move the King to get some more assets back. So
I'm going to be upfront honest and say that I can't speak eloquently at all to the Rangers. I just now sat here and Googled anything I could give. And the one thing that keeps coming up in this Google search is there's a goalie out there by the name of Steve Mason who played in Winnipeg last year. Jets dealt him to Montreal on June 30th, and the Canadians bought him out on the same day, making him an unrestricted free agent. And everything that I'm reading says that New York should throw everything they got at this kid. So apparently two of your three goalies that were in your rotation last year are free agents. So you're going to be having to sign a goaltender regardless. And they're saying that he wasn't the right fit in Winnipeg, but that in New York they think that he may be the perfect fit. So, again, I can't speak eloquently at all to this situation. But Google's telling me that Steve Mason, this young 30-year-old guy, may be the answer to your goaltending problems.
I can tell you that he's definitely not the answer. He was a Philadelphia Flyer. He was a Columbus Blue Jacket. He's not a big market goalie. The New York media would swallow him up. He would I would love to see him go to New York as a Flyers fan. I would love for him to be their starting goalie. But being objective and speaking on behalf of the Rangers, they don't want that guy. Toby, this guy let a playoff goal in basically the length of the ice 2 years ago, 3 years ago against Washington. That's all you need to know about him.
Again, I was up front. I Googled this.
You're good. And listen, I got firsthand experience with that guy being on my roster for a couple of years. He was just he's a good backup. He could be a good 1B for sure, but a starter in New York, no way. Maybe for the Islanders, that might be a better or Buffalo, but not for the Rangers. No way. Jordan, what do you think that the Rangers need to do to speed up the rebuild?
Well, I think that they need to get more picks in the draft and draft some more youngsters, because youth is something that the Rangers desperately need, and I think that they also need another goal scorer. That's what I would say. But I've also heard from a lot of people that the Rangers should move on from Henrik Lundqvist, because he's getting nowhere. He's really getting older, and he's like 36 or 37 years old, and he's not getting any younger. And the thing about it is that he's not the top goalie that he used to be anymore. I mean, he's still good, but he's not the same anymore now that he's not in his prime. And if you notice, every single time when the Rangers play, he mostly struggles so many times against so many teams, including the Devils. So that's why I agree. I really think that it's time for the Rangers to move on from Henrik Lundqvist. I mean seriously, his time has come.
I agree, and we have Sean James Harrison, who's in the live feed, and he's a Rangers fan, and he agrees with both of us, and he had told me that he said this a couple of years ago, that he thought they need to move on Hank, and he's saying that his best years were wasted by Torts in all defense, no offensive system. And I just made a comment in the live feed that the Rangers should look at Philly, trade Hank to Philadelphia Flyers for a package headlined by Wayne Simmonds, because Wayne Simmonds is on the last year of his deal. There would be your offense. That would be your power forward. That would be a Rick Nash replacement. And then we have some talent down low. I think we are ranked the second ranked best on the minor league system. So that's a pipe dream, I know, Sean, but I wanted to throw that out there just to say that, because that's something that you got to look at when you do this. And Sean is vehemently saying that there's no way that they would trade in division, and I agree. They probably won't even trade him in the conference. They probably would trade him to the Western Conference to be sure. But I don't think the Rangers are that far off, though. I don't think it needs to be a total fire sale for them. I really don't.
I found this article, Patrick. And Jordan, and again, I know nothing about the Rangers. It starts off, it says this would have seemed ludicrous at the time, but after the 2014-2015 season, when Lundqvist was hurt, that the Rangers should have actually traded him rather than Cam Talbot, and that's where the downhill climb started.
And your true Blue Ranger fans will agree with that. Am I wrong in saying that, Jordan?
No, you're not.
Yep. That was a big point of contention, maybe, when that happened. There's a lot of people that were upset that they traded Talbot, and I think that's what Sean was referring to when he said they should have traded Hank a couple years ago. And that probably would have been right, because he has so much respect around the league that anybody would trade from, even today, even though he's getting a little older and he's still owed a lot of money, the pedigree that he brings with his play and the person that he is. I mean, he's a great human being, by the way, as well. I mean, you talk about a guy that does a lot for the community, and he is an awesome human being. I mean, he could retire right now and go into his wine business and never hurt for another penny. But I think you put him in the right situation, he's still going to be a top-tier goalie, with the stellar defense. And I think, like Sean said before, put some offense. And I think that's what Jordan's kind of saying too. Put some offense around him as well, where maybe he's in a situation where he doesn't have to beat a man anymore. And you see a lot now at NHL where there's a lot of tandems going on. You only have a few true number one goalies left anymore, and a lot of it is by tandem. And I think the NHL is making a mistake that way, because that just really doesn't win. Only Pittsburgh Penguins seem to be the only ones that can call up goalies from the minor leagues and win cups with. I haven't seen anybody else being able to duplicate that in that manner. I think the steady guy, the number one guy, is your best bet between the pipes. That's just me. Jordan, Sean says in the live feed that Talbot is the one who got away. I would agree with that, Sean. I absolutely would agree with that. That guy's real good. And where is he at now anyway? Who's he playing for? Is he in Vancouver now? Maybe that's why Mason's expendable. Toby. Ooh. Sean says that Lundqvist. Sean says that Lundqvist would look real good on Boston, Jordan. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm not too happy about that as a Rangers fan, but
I wouldn't think you would be, but yeah, that's a good look. Listen, as a Flyers fan, I ain't too happy about that either. Look, he can stay away from Boston. He can stay away from Tampa. Thank you very much. That would be good. And Toronto, while we're at it, you can stay away from all three of those teams. That'd be good.
All right.
What's next on the list?
All right, so let's talk about the Knicks now. The Knicks are another team that I just are in disarray right now, and possibly are in a much worse situation than the Rangers. I have a lot of friends who are also Knicks fans, and a lot of them are saying that they've been needing to do a lot of rebuilding in order to make basketball and enjoyable in New York. But here's the thing with the Knicks. Right now, their star player right now is their power forward who was a rookie, Chris Haspers-Porzingis. Who do you think that the Knicks should get as a star player to build around him? Because he's somebody that the Knicks need to build around.
Whew. Man, the easy answer would have been, I guess Kawhi, if you're a big Kawhi Leonard fan. But I think next year you'll have Kyrie Irving there, and I think that bodes well because are we sure Porzingis is coming back this year, or is he going to try to take half a year off of the year off the redshirt? Because I think that knee is pretty torn up. I like the guard that you had last year, Frank, you know, the Frenchman, and I like the draft pick of Kevin Knox. That kid is going to be a star in New York. He is going to be really good. So I think the foundation's there, and I like the coach. I like Fizdale. New York has just been in a whirlwind for as long as I can remember. Nothing's really been good in the Knicks basketball, maybe ever since they acquired Melo. Maybe reacquiring Melo might have been a good move, but I think that I think they got to wait this year, Jordan. I think they got to go through the growing pains or whatever they're going to go through with this year. Then I think 2019-2020 season looks better for them with the free agent prospect. Because if you're paying attention to the tea leaves or whatever, it looks like Kyrie Irving is destined to get to New York to play. And Kyrie, Cantor, Porzingis, Knox, Frank, the other players they got on that team, there now you're starting to build something, and you're gonna have to do something because everybody else is getting better. Boston doesn't seem to be going anywhere anytime soon. Philadelphia is definitely on the rise. Milwaukee's here. Toronto, we never give Toronto enough respect or enough love, and they kind of earned that when they got swept this year. But they're certainly in the play. Washington Wizards ain't going anywhere. You know, that's Rasul McGee's team. I don't really see them doing anything, but they are a playoff team. So the East and that Atlantic division itself is going to be something to deal with. So, yeah, they're going to have to do something. I just don't know if there's a star player this year that they could have gotten or if there's one they can still make a play for. That makes a lot of sense. But I think next year is when you see them try to do some things, and that's going to be headlined by Kyrie Irving. I firmly believe that. They said since Charles Sprewell. They're wrong.
I agree. I think that this year will be a year of just short-term top contracts, pick up what you can for New York. They know that they have to re-sign Porzingis next year. They've got to keep their eyes on players like, he says he's not going anywhere, but I believe that when I see Klay Thompson stay put. So you got to remember Klay Thompson's free agent. You got to remember Kemba Walker is a free agent. You got some decently big names next year that New York could go after, and they're going to have plenty of money to do it. So I think next year is their year. And I think there's, like Pat said, going to have to struggle through this year. And it's just going to be another long season, unfortunately, for the Knicks, I believe.
Yeah, I believe that. Hey, Christian, what's going on, man? Nothing, man. What you got? What you got? You got something on the Knicks or the Rangers? What's happening? On the Wizards? What you got about the Wizards, man? Well, yeah, I think the Wizards have a good shot of making it to the playoffs, Christian. I just don't know if they have any much more hope other than that. I don't think Dwight Howard is the piece that's going to carry you over the top of anything special, is what I'm saying. I think free agency has passed, if I'm not mistaken. I think their biggest move was bringing in Dwight Howard. So I think they got John Wall locked up. Bradley Beal's there, but those two really just don't get along. So I think that's a story to watch this year as well. At all, right. And do you expect that to be a little bit better this year, Christian, or no? No? Yeah. Well, listen, it's gonna be all right. I don't think it's gonna be that bad of a season. Listen, the Wizards will do all right. They'll make the playoffs. They'll probably end up being like a fourth or fifth seed, but they'll make the playoffs. Okay, buddy. All right. Listen, thanks for checking in with us, man. We appreciate it having you on. All right. See you later. That was pretty cool. That was Christian checking in on the live feed there with a video. So, Jordan, as we swing it back to you, because these are all great topics and everything that you're bringing up, what do you think the Knicks need to do?
Yeah, I really do think that they need to get a star player to build on. Chris has for saying this. I think that they need to get either DeAndre Jordan or Klay Thompson when they're a free agent, or because the only other guy that I could think of that will be great on the Knicks but unfortunately he's locked up his contract with Golden State, so in no way in hell it doesn't look like he's going to go to New York. Stephen Curry. Curry is the other guy. I would think that the Knicks could get as a star player to build around Porzingis, but I don't think that's going to happen now that he extended his contract with the Warriors, like I said.
No, that's a good point. So a couple of things for you here as we're keeping up with the live feed. Let's see. Some people say the Knicks just need to get a new team. John James Harrison says to you that he thinks that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant will both be in New York next year, and he also says Jimmy Butler might come as well. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that will be good because I mean seriously, you know, the Knicks are need to get some really good you know, star players in free agency. They really don't have anybody on that team right now that is a star player. The only person that is showing that is, you know, proving to be a star, someone is Porzingis, and they just cannot keep on relying on Porzingis because now he's getting injured a lot.
That's true. You know, once you have that one injury, you're only another one away from just being damaged goods. So that's a good point. I'm gonna say this. No, KD is not going to the Knicks. KD is going to LA along with Jimmy Butler. That's gonna be the next big three out west. That's the team that's gonna be put together to take down the mighty Golden State Warriors. But I do believe that Kyrie Irving is leaving Boston. He's already said that he's not wanting to talk extension with them this year. You know, he's given a line about, oh, let the season play out. But listen, if you're in that situation with a young team like that and you saw what they did last year without you, you already moved on from Cleveland because you thought that you weren't the man there, and clearly you were. You helped them win a title. You're already one foot out the door. And if I'm Boston, I'm like, okay, see ya. I might move him now to see what I can get back. I just don't see him staying in Boston, and I don't know if Boston really needs him being based off the success they had this year. But I'll say this, though, to all you Boston Celtics fans. It's just like this, and here's a good analogy, but however you want to look at it. Expect some regression from the Boston Celtics, all right? Brad Stevens is a heck of a coach, no doubt. But some of those players played over their head and achieved, played over their pay grade, as we like to say. So expect them to come down to earth just a little bit, you know, because there's no way that everybody's going to perform to the level that they did last year. And I don't want to hear, we did this without Kyrie and Gordon, because there's no surefire plan in place that those two are going to come back and be able to be integrated into the success they had last year. That could be another deterrent. You've seen it happen all the time. You know, when you try to put your star players back in, they don't always all mesh well, or it might take half a season, just like it did with LeBron when they made that trade. Everybody was killing LeBron. Well, he got these players. He was the GM, and then they went on that run, and then what happened was another finals appearance. Yeah, we knew he was going to lose in the finals, but that's not the point. The point was that the proof is in the pudding, and it's all great to be a Boston Celtics fan because you're in a good spot, but I'm just saying expect some regression. I'm not saying a lot of regression now because I think you're still the top team, if not one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. And that has a lot to do with Brad Stevens and the way those guys like playing for him. But expect a little bit of growing pains with that, with success last year. And then how are they going to react to LeBron not being in the conference? You know, had a couple of the players come out saying, you know, they were sad that he got moved because they wanted to go through him. I like that kind of talk. But now that they all, because they're being anointed by other players, right? Ben Simmons is coming out and saying that they want to beat Boston. So now the target is squarely on their back now, but have they let their guard down? Like, have they let their competitive spirit down thinking, oh, we're it now. Ron's gone, right? You understand what I'm saying, Toby? We've seen this happen many times, right?
If you ask me.
Yeah.
If you ask me, Philly's the team. It ain't Boston, no way. I mean, Boston can sit there and convince themselves it is, and they can mm-hmm. listen to the media, and they can take in all that hype if they want to, but it's Philly. Like, if you ask me, you look it on paper, the young and the upcomer, Philly all day.
Well, Kevin Dixon, I can appreciate you totally disagreeing, and that's why we have a call-in number, 646-668-8083. We'd love to have you call in and talk about it while you're out there on vacation, partner. But I speak the truth. You know, that's how we do it on Sunday nights. We bring that heat. And I think if you're being honest with yourself, you'll know it. What's up, Jordan?
Yeah, so I'm going to move on to the Jets. I'm a Jets fan in the NFL. Now the Jets have three quarterbacks. They have Sam Darnold, they have Teddy Bridgewater, and they have McCown. So out of those three, which one of them do you think should be their starting quarterback?
I'm gonna let Toby go first on this one.
Well, you said a key word there, should. Teddy Bridgewater should be their starting quarterback. But I don't believe he will. I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to get traded. I don't know to who. But I think Sam Darnold will be your starting quarterback. The kid's very talented. I was high on him from the get-go. Probably a little too high, honestly. But I think he'll be your starter by, you know, week two, week three, if he's not the starter week one, because Bridgewater's going to get dealt. Now, I don't remember who it was, either last week or the week before. We had somebody give us some sort of hot take saying that Bridgewater was going to wind up in Denver, I believe, being the starting quarterback there. And he said he had an insider tip, so take that for what it's worth. But I don't know that to be true, false, or anything in between. But Bridgewater has proven in the past, before his injury, that he is a starter at this level. And Bridgewater has shown that he is an athletic freak just from coming back from the injury that he had. I mean, he shredded everything. The kid shouldn't be playing. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Like, I really thought it was a career ender for him. I thought he was done. But, mm-hmm. yeah, he should be your quarterback. But I think it's going to be Darnold. What do you think, Pat?
I wholeheartedly agree. I'm a huge Teddy B fan. I think Minnesota made a mistake by getting rid of him. I think that the Jets aren't going anywhere this year. I don't think the offensive line is solidified. And I think you may set Sam Darnold back a year by putting him out there. You know, I'm already on record a million times of saying that I don't think any of the guys drafted this year should start unless it's injury. And I think that Sam Darnold might end up being the best out of all of them. But Baker Mayfield is running a close second to me, in my opinion there. But I think it should be Teddy B or it should be McCown that start. Let this guy sit, let him watch, let him learn, work on getting the offensive line put together. And if that offensive line can be more than serviceable, then midway through the year, then you should put Darnold out there to get him some reps and get him some experience. But, I mean, this is an organization that drafted Christian Hackenberg in the second round and never played the kid. They were afraid to put him in the game. Right? I mean, I'm serious, right? They were afraid to put him in the game, right? They had Bryce Petty. He hardly ever played in the game. Like, I really don't understand. It's like, I don't know who's the worst organization when it comes to drafting quarterbacks between Cleveland and New York. And I say that not to be funny, but in reality, I mean, these guys have just continually stacked up quarterbacks after quarterbacks, and none of them have panned out, right? So I think that you got the guy that you want, and I think he's really going to be a good quarterback for them. But I think this year is a mistake to put him in there. But I can tell you, all signs are pointing to this kid starting. I think it's already been decided that Darnold's going to be the guy. Like you said, Toby, they're trying to pump up Teddy B, pump up his draft, because, I mean, his trade value. You know, everything that he's done since he got there has been the best thing since sliced bread. You know, his practices are sharp, everything, blah, 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 blah. But the real proof is in the pudding is that when you've seen him play, he's demonstrated that he's back. You know, you see a little bit of a hitch still in that knee, but I think that's probably to be expected as he gets more confident on it. But I think it should be Teddy Bridgewater as well, if not McCown. I just think it's a no-brainer. You know, I think it's like you said, who should, and that's who should start. But I think we all know where that's going. Well, Jordan, tell us what's going to happen there.
Well, I think a lot of people think that Sam Darnold should start, but I tend to disagree with that as well, because I really don't think that he should be the starting quarterback because he was just drafted. I think he has the potential to be a good quarterback, but I think he's going to need some time to develop, because sometimes when you have a player like that, they need time to adjust and to develop, especially after they were first drafted, it might not even take just a year, and it might take years, you know. So that's why I don't think that Sam Darnold should be their starting quarterback. I think it should be Bridgewater. But now that we're talking about Bridgewater, do you think that the Jets should trade him? Because when I talked to Kevin Dixon about this, Kevin Dixon said no. He told me that most likely if he got traded, they were going to trade him to the Broncos. Now that he told me that he doesn't think that they should trade him to them, and if that's a team that they're going to trade him to, why? Because that will be a huge blow to the Jets' offense if Teddy Bridgewater is traded to the Broncos, especially of all teams. So with that being said, do you guys have to think he should be traded at all or no?
I think no. I would think that if you have that good of a situation where you have three functioning quarterbacks, especially going off your past history with quarterbacks, hasn't been that good. If you got three of them, you know Josh McCown's good for about six starts before he gets hurt, right?
Right.
I think that you should. I think you should keep Teddy, because if you can trade him now, you probably can trade him for a little bit more later as the trade deadline comes in, especially if he proves to be healthy. See, I think for me, and I apologize if Toby said this and if I'm repeating something he said. I think you let Teddy B start the first couple of games and show that he's really healthy and he can play in an NFL regular season game. And I think that does nothing but boost his value. And then once you realize that the season is really going nowhere, then you can let Darnold play, and then you can take offers for Teddy B. But I think at the outset, he should not be traded.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree 100%. I mean, you know, Jordan, I think that there is a time and place and situation when a rookie quarterback should start from the jump, and that is when you just do not have a serviceable starter at all. You know, situation like what Arizona was in a few years ago, when they drafted the kid from USC. Forgot his name now. Same draft as Vince Young. What was his name? Mr. Everything from USC.
Mark Sanchez? Mark Sanchez?
No. No, 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 no.
Reggie Bush?
Geez. Anyway.
All right.
I've lost it. Anyway, you know, New York has got a starter quality in Bridgewater. And if I'm them, I let him start. And then starter is going to go down. You just cross your fingers that it's not yours if you're in New York. You look down the line and you say, boy, best case scenario, Jacksonville's a contender. If they lose their starter, I could get King Ransom for Bridgewater. You know, I could shop Bridgewater for Jacksonville. It's probably a first and second, no telling what else. If I'm New York at that point, because not only does Jacksonville have to have a quarterback to go to that next level, but let's be honest, they're upgrading at that point too. So, you know, you can just about name your price if you're the Jets then. So I agree with Patrick. You hold on to him. You let him start. You let him show that he's got it. And then if you're you know, convinced that Darnold's your guy, then you know, when somebody starter goes down, then you shop Bridgewater and say, look, we want to roll with Darnold. He's our guy. We're convinced. You've seen what Bridgewater's done so far this season. Make me an offer.
Thank you.
Gordon, I think you said that you don't think you should be traded, but just to clarify, what do you think? That's another good question that you posed.
Well, and as I said before, I don't think that Sam Darnold should be their starting quarterback, because what I've noticed is with him, as I said, he was just drafted by the New York Jets, and he showed like he was a good strong quarterback in the first preseason game that the Jets had, you know, but in the last two games he wasn't really that good, because I noticed when the Jets played against the Giants recently, he really didn't show his potential to be a soaring quarterback, as the Jets had taken the lead several times in the game and then lost it to the Giants in the end. And I noticed the same thing with the game against the Redskins too. He wasn't a soaring quarterback, and they were leading the game and then end up losing it to Washington. So no, I don't think that Sam Darnold should be their starting quarterback. I think that he's a rookie. So I think that they should let him sit and give him some time to develop, and that way in the future then they can decide whether or not he has potential to be a starting quarterback or not, because also, like I said, it may not even take a year, and it might take two years or more, because you know every player in each sport is different. So some players need more time to develop before they can officially start.
Okay, yeah, you know what, I agree with that. I'll say this: I think that history has shown us that you have more success when you have a guy sit and wait and learn. Right? Aaron Rodgers is a prime example. Tom Brady is another example.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? But you had some recent success, right? We'll go with the biggest one out there. Carson Wentz, big success, right? Marcus Mariota, success. Derek Carr, success. Dak Prescott, success. Jared Goff, you know, some success, even though he didn't start right away. So, but then you look at the other side, Jameis Winston, Jamarcus Russell, right? You understand what I'm saying?
Your team, Matt Leinart.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Leinart. There you go. I mean, you know, Russell Wilson. We got to give Russell Wilson a shout out too, because he, you know, Carson Wentz's story mimics Russell Wilson's. Very rarely really pays attention, you know, except for Carson was, you know, the top pick. Russell Wilson wasn't, but Russell Wilson wasn't projected to start. Pete Carroll's like, you know what? We're going to go with this guy. So if we go back full circle, Carson Wentz owes Teddy Bridgewater a big steak dinner. Right?
Agreed.
You're right. Because if Teddy doesn't blow out his knee, Carson Wentz doesn't get a chance to start, right? Everybody follow me on that? Because Teddy Bridgewater goes down, the Vikings call the Eagles, and the Eagles fleece the Vikings for a trade, saying bad knees to Minnesota, anointing Carson Wentz the starter. Boom, there you have it. Dude's taking off, man. MVP caliber year last year, you know, unfortunately got hurt. You know, robbed him of some postseason experience. But, you know, he's going to be back week two, week three, most likely, right? And he's going to have a little bit of regression as well, not necessarily due to play, but this not going to rust off and making sure that he's got his sea legs back and he's fully healthy. But that kid's the future of the NFL at the quarterback position. I don't care what anybody says. And you know me, I'm not even close to being an Eagle fan, but that kid, he's got that factor. Whatever that it factor is, he's got it. Jordan, we thank you for coming on with us tonight. You brought a lot of good topics and a lot of good conversation to us. You are more than welcome to come on our show anytime that you're scheduled. allows?
Of course. I had one more final topic actually. I don't know if you guys can get to it, but I'd appreciate it.
No problem, Jordan. I didn't mean to cut you short. Go ahead with your final topic.
All right. Now, I'm going to say that now this is just in general. Which are the biggest and fiercest rivalries in each sport? Baseball, basketball, hockey, football, college football, and also college basketball. You can give any team that you think in your opinion has a fierce rivalry with another team.
All right, hold on 1 second there. Let me bring in this next caller. 717, last 4-6-0-8-1. You're on Hodgepodge Sports with Patrick and Toby, our guest co-host tonight, Jordan. What's happening?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing out there?
Doing well, man. Did you hear the question? Jordan's last
Yes, I
topic.
Did.
Yes, we're going to let you go first, man. We're going to let you lead off. You can take any sport, or you can take all of them with the fiercest rivalry.
I think if I go to football, I look at the Super Bowl, and I think the fiercest rival in the Super Bowl is the Dallas Cowboys and Pittsburgh Steelers. In basketball, I think it's the Lakers and the Celtics. In college football, it's Notre Dame and any team they play. baseball, I got to say the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Okay. Toby?
I got to go. Baseball for me is Yankees and Sox. It's just become too brutal. And basketball, I'm going probably either Celtics and Lakers, or there was a nice little, Lakers-Bulls rivalry there for a while, or Pistons-Bulls. I really like the Bad Boys and Jordan era. I like that for the few years it lasted. NFL football, it's kind of tough because as divisions change, you lost a lot of that. But I loved the old black and blue division there in the AFC. So I love to watch Pittsburgh and just about anybody go at it. But being a Titans fan, I love to watch my boys in Pittsburgh lock up. I hate the Steelers with passion. In college football, to me, Alabama and anybody, I think the whole world hates them. With good reason. But I think Alabama and Auburn specifically, I mean, that is a true blood and guts hatred rivalry game right there. That's what rivalry should be. And in college basketball, it gets no better than Duke and North Carolina for me.
That's what I was going to pick right there. That's so cool. Oh, man, college football. Come on. Everybody missed the mark. It does not get better than Army Navy. Come on, man. Come on.
That's a good one.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Pro Army here,
well,
of course.
Let me ask you a question, Patrick.
If
you're in the Air Force, who are you picking?
Air Force and BYU?
I'm saying, you said Army Navy, but I'm saying if you're in the Air Force, between the Army or the Navy. You know what I'm saying?
I guess they go,
the Air Force.
I guess they go VMI. I don't know, man. I don't know, but I'm sticking with it. Army Navy, dagnabbit. Army Navy. College basketball. I totally agree, Toby. North Carolina, but back in the day, and this is for my Philly people right here. Kevin, you know this one, the Big Five, man. You can take any Big Five matchup and run it, or you can go Big East back in the day, Georgetown, Syracuse, Georgetown, Pitt, anybody rivaled that. Baseball, I'm gonna go a little differently. I'm going to say St. Louis and the Cubs. I think that has been a big rivalry game over the years, and they just really don't like each other. I mean, you can't go wrong with New York and Boston, but that's just too easy to pick. Hockey, I would say any original six matchup is really good. Anybody against the Penguins, Let me see who I missed. Football, I think you take anybody in the NFC East, and there's your biggest rivalry games right there. Outside of Pittsburgh and Baltimore, that's nasty. But NFC East, I'm a little homerish right there, but NFC East is where it's at. But these divisions are coming up, and now with everybody talking smack, you're going to have a yes, that's what I'm talking about, Rob Lewis. Big Five was awesome, but Georgetown, Syracuse, Georgetown, St. John, that's who it was, St. John's. Couldn't think of who it was there. All right. So, Jordan, do you have an answer for that, or was that just your final question for us as you really just wowed us tonight on the show?
Well, I want to say in my opinion, in baseball, I think the fiercest rivalry I would say are the Yankees and Dodgers. I would say because I agree with Toby. Yankees and Red Sox obviously is the obvious one. But I just think that the Yankees and Dodgers. What am I saying? I meant to say the Dodgers and the Giants. What am I saying? I think that rivalry is a bigger rivalry. I would say that than the Yankees and the Red Sox. As for hockey, I would say Rangers and Devils, but I think a bigger rivalry, a bigger and fierce rivalry, I'd even more say than the Rangers and Devils would be the Flyers and the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think those two are big rivals and even bigger than the Rangers and the Devils for instance. And as for basketball, I was gonna say maybe the Detroit Pistons and the Chicago Bulls, because I think those two teams hate each other, and especially that back in the days of Michael Jordan, when Michael Jordan used to be on the Chicago Bulls, and now as for football. I was going to say like Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers, because I think anybody that lives in Baltimore that likes the Ravens, of course, would hate the Steelers. Like Toby, for example, he could attest to that, and for college basketball and football. I would say like Miami and I think Florida State. I think those two are big rivals. And I think anybody as well that plays Notre Dame or Alabama. That's what I gotta say.
Well, that's good stuff.
That's good stuff, Jordan.
That is really good.
So, Pat, I'm gonna point something out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Every single one of us agreed on one thing. Did you catch it?
Yep.
Everybody hates the Steelers. Everybody hates the Steelers.
Listen. Exactly. Jordan, listen. I got a couple for you from the live feed. You're going to like these. Bruins versus Canadiens. Ali versus Frazier. Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan.
Woo!
Here's the best one to me. Borg versus John McEnroe. That is excellent.
That is excellent.
And that's from Raymond Bennett right there. That is excellent. You talking about going into the archives. That is awesome right there. Jordan, thank you so much for joining us.
Jordan. Thanks, girl.
Now we can officially say the Hodgepodge Sports is moving to Wednesday nights. Our new time will be 7 to 8 p.m. Our first show will be September, what is that, the 6th? Is that a Wednesday or is it the 5th?
6th.
The 6th. Our next show will be September 6th. Same call-in number. We won't be on Blog Talk. Sorry. Yep. Different call-in number, different network. We will get those details to you as soon as possible. But our next show will be September 6th, and our new night will be Wednesday nights, and we'll be going 7 to 8 p.m., and the format will be previewing the upcoming week of football and the previous week of football and anything that happens in between there. So, Jordan, you are more than welcome to join us anytime on Wednesday nights. We enjoyed having you here this evening.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was my pleasure being on the show, and I'll definitely call in as a regular caller on the show many more times, especially when you guys move to the new service with the new call number and such.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll make sure I get that information to you as soon as I get it. You'll have it, and that way you can come on, because Toby might not always be able to make it, and I can always use a second chair. You throw it out. So we
hey.
Always not that I'm trying to replace you, Toby. I'm just trying to get your backup, bro.
Look, hey, I got to be honest. I mean, she's way better than me anyway. I'll go ahead and give her that. Look, I only know one other person from New York, and you're already my favorite New Yorker. So you know what I mean.
Right. So, Toby, it's not a shot at you. What I'm saying is I got dibs on Jordan. You feel me? That's what I'm saying.
Man, I hear you. I hear you.
That's what I'm saying. All right, Jordan.
I ain't mad at you.
Thanks a lot for hanging out with us tonight. We really enjoyed having you on. Absolutely did.
Thanks, Jordan. You're the best, girl.
All right.
All right, Kevin. So, I know you called in. So you want to circle back to the Boston Celtics and how they're not going to regress. So we got about 18 minutes left. I know you're probably going to take up 16 of them, so go ahead and go.
Well, I just want to let you guys know I'm down in Tampa, Florida right now. I'm supposed to be out in the ocean, but the weather got bad, so we didn't go out to see the Dolphins or whatever. But we're down here. I'm down here at a friend of mine's house, Jimmy White. I want to give him a shout-out. A couple guys of us from class 84, 1984, we get together and we have a fantasy league football league. So what we try to do is we have a draft, we go different places, and this time we chose to come to Tampa, Florida. And I want to give Jimmy's wife a shout out. Yo, it was nice. It was real nice. Yo, we had bottles of waters with our names and our teams on it. Everybody had their own bottle. Everybody had their own seat with a little name tag. It was real sweet. Real nice. I don't know if nobody can ever top that. But I'm having a good time down here. Too bad I got to go home tomorrow. But Tampa would be a place. Tampa wouldn't be a bad place to live, but it just rains every day. That's
the
only problem.
You got to go eat early.
But getting back to the situation with the Celtics. So when you say digress, are you saying digress as far as the number of wins? With a number of losses, I look at digress as a different from a different perspective when it comes to the Celtics. That's what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is that you had role players that stepped up and played big time minutes and showed out. Role players mm-hmm. don't always go year to year with the same performance. Is what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. And now you're gonna integrate two of the biggest stars back into the team. Kyrie Irving, not so much of an integration because he did play. But Hayward, he only played a preseason game. So now you got to try to figure out where everybody fits in. They're coming back for starting spots. Now the guys that started last year are going back in the reserve roles. Feelings going to be hurt. Play going to suffer. What's going to happen? So what I'm saying is I expect them to still be good, but I just don't know if they're going to put up. Yeah, I would say wins and losses. I'm not saying they're going to, like, lose 10 more games than what they lost last year. I mean, it could be anywhere from 2 to 5. I just think that expectations should be tempered just a little bit, as opposed to saying, oh, we're going to be much better because Hayward and Irving are back. I tend to go on the opposite side of that because history has shown us that's not the way it always works. Now, I would say the following year, you can make that claim if they come back in and everything gels. Does that kind of make sense or clarify what I was getting at?
Yeah, it does. Okay. And this is my rebuttal to that. Just recently, Terry Rozier said, I don't have no problem coming off the bench. Recently, Jason Tatum said, I don't have no problem coming off the bench. So when you have players that started and they tell you, I have no problem coming off the bench, that should say something to other teams that these guys are grounded, they understand what the game of basketball is about, and if they're willing to come off the bench and do what they did as starters, then we got problems. Because to me, I think, to me personally speaking, Boston has the second best bench in the NBA other than Golden State. That's the way I look at it, because when guys get played,
valuable minutes as starters, so they know what it is to be a starter. But they, but if they come off the bench and they can do what they did as a starter, that's a plus. And also, you can take the minutes for Haywood and the minutes for Kyrie and back them up a little bit, because you already know what you're going to get for Jason Tatum. You already know what you're going to get for Rozier. You know what I'm saying? And so if you got them guys come off the bench with Marcus Smart and Morris and Jennings, you basically know what you're getting. And you're getting guys that have started some meaningful games, so you got, so the other teams got to match that intensity. Don't too many teams have that same intensity come off their bench as Boston does, or even as Golden State does, because it's a system that they run, you know. And I think the question is, can Brad Stevenson make it work more so than can the players make it work? Because now Brad Stevens is in a good situation where he has guys that started last year. He knows what their capabilities are. He knows what they're capable of doing. So how do you implement them in as come off the bench? So
right.
Basically, you're looking
I think
at,
that's the question.
And so, but basically, you're looking at a team. You're looking at a guy that has in reality he has two starting fives. If you really look at it really hard, he has two starting fives. So it's more or less it's like plug and play for him. But I think Brad Stevenson can get it done because he's that smart of a guy. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying it because I'm a Celtics fan. I'm looking at that team. I'm like, wow. How do you stop a team that basically this first team might be all about offense, second team is all about defense, but they can score. So the key to the whole thing is the only thing I see hurting Boston is injuries. That's the key thing. If somebody get injured, how do we replace that player to get injured, no matter who it may be? That's the thing that I see that's going to hold them back. And even though people say that Golden State can win, that Golden State's got another, they might win another title, I got to look at it and say to myself, I looked at how Boston played Golden State last year, even though they played them during the season, and they beat them at home, and then they should have beat them at home. They should have beat them in Golden State. If Marcus Smart would have been the hero and get the ball to Rozier, he shot the three, they probably win that game too. But they knew that Boston was a team that they could, the possibility they could have met in the finals, but Kyrie Irving got hurt. So Golden State looks at this and says, wow, how do we match up with this team? And even though they got Boogie Cousins, they have a decent bench, but their bench is not as athletic as Jason Tatum, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, just those three I'm naming right there. They can play good defense, but those three guys I just named right there all play good defense. So now it's a thing of how you match each team, each player or each team against each other. And if you really look at Boston and you look at Golden State, you're looking in the mirror at two teams that are pretty much built alike.
No.
So
way.
Here's my question, Kev.
No.
Here's my
not.
Question.
Thanks, Toby.
So I can agree with you on the fact that, you said that people are saying in Boston, hey, I don't mind coming off the bench. I know my role. I can go back to being that sixth, seventh man, and I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. I'm fine with that. So I can agree with you on that. So unselfish players are fine. What I got a question on is this. When you go from being a 22, 25-point average guy as a starter to accepting your role as a 6'7 man, and that's fine, so they have accepted that, but then the points aren't there is my question. You don't get to be that 22, 25-point man any longer, or to scrap that, I mean, that's high, so you don't get to be that 15 to 18-point man any longer. What happens at that point when there's not enough basketball to go around? Because that's what you're going to run into, in my opinion. I think Brad Stevens is going to have to, like you said, he's going to have to figure out how do I distribute one basketball amongst all these players. Because you got some point-hungry people now
that got a taste of what quasi-superstardom feels like. And they're not going to have that chance now that you got two real superstars coming back. You follow what I'm saying? How you think you're going to handle that?
I'm gonna say two people's name and then I'm gonna answer the question. Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. All right.
Okay.
People think that Klay Thompson is going somewhere else other than Golden State. He's staying in Golden State. It came out again. His dad said he's not going anywhere. He's making money. He's winning championships. Golden State is trying to set the tone that you can still make money. You can win titles. Draymond Green is people don't understand with Draymond Green when he scores a triple double, they're undefeated. They have never lost a game when he scores a triple double. So they make sacrifices to do what they got to do. And in the situation in Boston, Terry Rozier, now he's going to be a free agent next year. It's a possibility that he could go or he could stay. Kyrie, it's a possibility he could go or he could stay. I personally don't think Kyrie is going to go anywhere. I don't think Rozier is going to go anywhere because if you're going to win titles, does it matter if you come off the bench? Does it matter if you start? Because you can have a starting five, but when the game comes down to the final decision, last 30 seconds, who's on the court is what matters most, regardless if it's going to be a starters or not. So the thing about this, I don't think there's going to be an ego issue at all with the Boston Celtics because all these guys are young, so they know they're going to have time to get what they want to get when they want to get it. Because you never know what the situation with Gordon Hayward is. You don't know what the situation with Kyrie Irving is. You know what I'm saying? Because David's name keeps popping up now about going to Boston or going to L.A., you know what I'm saying, or even Golden State. So he's a guy that you got to keep an eye on because if the Pelicans don't – if they're not in playoff position by All-Star breaks, he might ask to be traded. You know what I'm saying? So now you're looking at certain players that may get moved around to accommodate him. But I don't see Boston making that type of trade. Boston has not been known to make a trade like that in the middle of the season because that disrupts their chemistry in order to at the end of the year win a title. You see what I'm saying? They may bring in one guy or maybe two guys, but it's not that's going to disrupt what they're doing. So I think that with Rozier and with Jason Tatum, and I think that if you really sit down and listen to Jason Tatum he just wants to win. It doesn't have anything to do with minutes, doesn't have anything to do with scoring. He's gonna play the type of basketball he needs to play in order to keep them in the game or win the game for him. And I think Brad Stevens this is his puzzle to figure out, and I think Brad Stevens can do it. Because again, I look at Golden State, and I look at Boston, and they look each other in the mirror, and they say, "Yo, we marry each other." You know, some people say to me, LeBron's not there no more, so it's an open race." It definitely is an open race between Boston, Philly, Toronto, whoever, Milwaukee, whatever. You still got to go out and play the game. I don't think Boston, and I don't think Philly, those two teams to me, they're one and two. I don't think neither one of those teams are that confident in themselves to think that it's just going to be handed to them. Because everybody thinks that they have a chance to get to the NBA Finals next year in the East. They're going to have to work for it. They definitely have to work for it. It's not going to come easy to them. I think that's Philly and Boston. That's not their mentality to think that way. You know what I'm saying? These guys know they got to go out and prove themselves every night, every day. The reason why Boston is there because they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. So let's say they're the team that everybody wants to beat. But now you got Kyrie Irving coming back, and you got Gordon Hayward coming back. And if those guys start, and then you got Jason and you got Rozier come off the bench, and they know what they can do. These guys play great defense, so their defense kind of makes their offense. And you have Marcus Smart, who basically gives you goes in game, and he gives you an extra eight possessions on the defensive end because of the way he tip ball or steal or jump ball, whatever. So I think Boston's in a great position. I think Philly's in a great position. I think Milwaukee, they got to do something with the point guard. Even though Toronto got Kyrie, Kawhi, they're going to be good, but they're not going to be better than Boston. They're not going to be better than Philly. They could probably be a third seed, in my opinion. And then we got Razoo down there talking about the Washington Wizards, that they're going to be the number one seed. And I don't know if he's drinking the seawater that comes in from the ocean in D.C., but Washington's not there. They'll make the playoffs, but they're not going to be there. And I just think that those guys in Boston understand their roles, and I don't think nobody's going to go outside that role. And being a Boston fan all my life, there's only two players I've ever seen leave Boston to go somewhere else that they drafted was Rick Fox and Brian Shaw. And if them guys would stay, Boston would have been decent. I'm not saying they would have won a title with them guys. They would have been decent. But they left and went to L.A. And so I don't have no respect for neither one of those guys because they left because they didn't want to work hard to win a title with Boston. But they got to L.A., had pieces around them, and they went title. So now they think these guys are good.
Well, here's what I'm going to say because I got 3 minutes left on this. So here's what I'm going to say. I agree with you that it's a Brad Stevens problem to manage, and he's been up to the task of managing that. But I think the one thing that you're underestimating on your team is that you got a lot of young kids. Young kids want to get paid first. Of course, they're going to say they don't mind going to the bench and all that. That's what they're supposed to say. But when it comes down to it, those guys are going to want those minutes that they had last year because they've proven last year that they could rise up to the occasion. And that's the part where I'm saying that's where the regression is going to come in, because they're not going to get the opportunity to shine because the minutes are going to be low. Once we get into the playoffs, the rosters, the bench shrinks. So that advantage that you might have through the regular season doesn't necessarily hold up in the postseason because it goes down to a 6-7-8-man rotation. And the one thing that I have to totally respectfully disagree on is Boston and Golden State do not mirror each other. Boston matches up well with Golden State because of the way that Boston plays defense and they're young and athletic, but they in no way mirror each other. Golden State can shoot the lights out from anywhere on the court. Boston doesn't have that capacity. Boston doesn't have a true low post player. Golden State now has two, right? So Draymond Green probably will leave Golden State as his replacement, just signed a deal this year to join them. Kevin Durant
Who's that?
Is probably going to Boogie Cousins.
Boogie won't be there after this year.
I guarantee you Boogie will be there because he's already taken less money to go win a championship, just like you said. Now, you can't flip-flop. You can't say on one side that one players are going to stay because they want to win championships and they're automatically discounted on the other. You can't do that, Kevin.
What I'm saying to you is that Boogie's there to prove to the rest of the NBA that he can still play. Boogie knows he's not going to get the money that he wants from Golden State because Golden State already has money obligated
Kevin,
to go to Kevin Durant.
Kevin,
they got money
Kevin,
that's obligated to go play Thompson.
Turned down more money at the agency to take this deal with Golden State. Hell, New Orleans was offering more money. He already turned that money down, so we're not going to go down that route because that's not fair. You can't say that on one hand that these players are not going to take – not going to want money and then say this player is because he's trying to prove something. All he's got to do is prove he's healthy. Everybody knows he can play. Come on now. Look at Marcus Smart was threatening to leave and was calling out the organization because he wasn't getting paid.
Did he get paid?
Overpay a role player. I mean, come on.
Did Marcus Smart get paid?
Run out of money at some point, and that's going to be the issue for Boston. Boston's going to have a lot of guys come and do around the same time, so they're going to have to make hard decisions on who they're going to want to pay, and also who they're going to want to play. That's the only part where I'm saying the regression comes in. I still think that Boston is the top team in the East. I'm just saying that there's going to expect a little bit of growing pain, maybe a better phrase, or maybe that's something a little bit more palatable. But they still got issues there. You know what I'm saying? All teams do. The only team that's close to being a perfect team is Golden State, and there's nobody beating Golden State as all teams are currently constructed. Houston gave him a good run, but Houston didn't have the coach to get him over the top. At the end of the day, Boston may not have them over the top to take him out. That's all I'm trying to say there. I don't think that it's hard to say that those two might not end up in the promised lands, but I just don't know if either one of them can effectively bring it home because Golden State is the standard, and they always will be. Hey, listen.
Okay,
I got to end up, man. We out of time, man. Listen, thanks for everybody.
No, you got more time. You got more time.
I got more time now. Hold on.
Yeah, you got more time. Because I want to ask you a question about Boogie Cousins, though.
Ask me a question. Okay, Come on, man. The Cowboy game is about to start. Come on. The Cowboy game is about to start. Come on. Hey,
it's preseason,
on,
man. Ezekiel ain't playing. Okay, so you're saying that Golden State is going to let Draymond Green leave to keep Boogie Cousins. Is that what you're saying?
I can see that happening, yes.
I got to disagree with you now.
I don't think anybody would be upset with this because, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you a couple of things. I think Draymond Green is wearing his welcome out in the locker room and on the team with his antics, and he's going to be a little bit older. And I think that he's gonna be the player that's not gonna sacrifice. And he's already on record of saying that he's not taking a hometown discount. So if you got your choice of taking a healthy Boogie Cousins or Draymond Green, you're telling me you're not taking Boogie? That's what you're telling me?
Okay. So what do you mean by healthy? You mean he's playing
healthy? 100% healthy. Everything being even, you're taking Draymond over Boogie. That's what you're doing?
I would take Boogie because of what he brings to the floor. But the thing about Draymond Green, like I said before, when he scores a triple double, they're undefeated. So he brings that to the table. He brings it to the contract table and say, look, who else has done this? Kevin Durant got triple doubles and we lost.
That's
Curry he got triple doubles and I lost.
But he can bring that to the table. And then we're also going to say, but yeah, you're one technical from being thrown out of the league, or you're one off-court incident from being in trouble. We got somebody that knows how to play the game without getting technical fouls, without getting in trouble outside. So take those triple doubles.
Wait, you're talking about Boogie Cousins. You're talking about Boogie Cousins, right?
I'm talking about anybody. Draymond Green is replaceable. So you're telling me, so based off what you're saying, right, just so I'm clear here, Draymond Green is the linchpin to Golden State. That's what you're telling me. So Golden State can't win a championship without Draymond Green. Is that what you're telling me? Let's just get down to nuts and bolts here. If Draymond Green is not on the Golden State Warriors, they can't win a championship?
No, I don't think they can, because you know why? He does all the things nobody else wants to do on that team. And everybody
like
has
what?
Had that type of guy. And I don't think Boogie Cousins is that type of guy.
Okay. Draymond Green is not really a better defender than Andre Iguodala.
No,
challenge me on
that's not what I said. I said Draymond Green does all the things that nobody else wants to do. Okay?
Draymond does that nobody else wants to do on that team is be the fake tough guy. That's it. He doesn't do anything better than anybody else on that team. And that's real talk right there. All he does that nobody else wants to do is be the fake tough guy. He's the enforcer. And you can go get anybody to be enforcer. You can go get anybody, play them, pay them minimal salary for them to be the enforcer on that team.
Let me ask you one more question and we can go.
Yes,
what's the difference between Boogie Cousins and Marcus Smart?
Besides talent? Besides talent?
Yeah.
Marcus Smart does all the small things.
He does all the little small things that nobody else on that team does. And I think that he comes back in the Philly series, and that's the reason why we win. He doesn't play in that Philly series, Boston doesn't win. That's where I look at it.
So this is that, right? This is why role players have roles, because they're not great at anything. So Marcus Smart has to do those things nobody else wants to do because he's not great at anything else. He's not a great shooter. He's a decent defender. He's a decent rebounder, but he's not great at anything. Boston does not need Marcus Smart to be successful, and I'm not even a Boston fan. You can find a Marcus Smart on any team that there is, right?
I gotta disagree with that.
You can disagree with me all you want, and we can talk about that on your show one day, because I can back that one up all day long. You can find Mr. Utility Knife on every team in every sport if you look. That's true. I mean,
I got this.
Marcus Smart is not a household name outside of Boston. That's real talk.
I got to disagree.
Well, everybody knows Boogie Cousins. Nobody outside of Boston knows Marcus Smart, except for maybe where he played college ball at.
I got to disagree with that.
Well, I'm glad we're disagreeing, because that's what we like to do, right? We like to keep the debate. We like to keep them going. and then we will pick this conversation up on your show for sure. If not, we'll definitely pick it up on Wednesday. All right, my man. Listen, get home safe. All right, partner. We'll see y'all later. Thanks for checking in on the live feed, everybody. God bless.